revival services. What a blessing. And don't mind all them papers there. We just take all right, name that tune.
Yeah,
he
got good.
Who else got to hear that? What was it, Ben?
Christ liveth in me.
There you go. All right. I heard Dave name that tune. Or, yeah, what did you say? Ain't got good. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're in the house of God tonight? I am. I gotta find my message that I lost on here all of a sudden. I have no. There it is. I have no idea what happens to this thing sometimes, but I bring it up and everything's gone. Amen. Then I gotta hunt and look for it again. But well, praise the Lord. You know, 2019 when I was here, in the end of the year somewhere, I lost. I think I told you last year I lost all of my 2019 messages. You know, so I have no idea what I preached in 2019. So if you hear a repeat, then the Lord must want it. Amen. Because I don't write all new messages all the time, but I got 300 messages to draw from out there, over 300. But I don't know which ones I preached then, you know.
Acts
so, 1-8. Which would say
Acts
1-8. Well, that was this morning, amen.
That's what we preached in 19.
Say it again now.
August 19, 2019.
What I preach?
Acts 1-8.
Oh, did I really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord, brother. You got to hear it twice, amen. Did it do anything? It was a different message this time, amen. Yeah. I have no idea what the message was back then because I can't find that one either. So, amen. Isn't God good? Amen. That was the name of a good song. Isn't God good? You know, here in the book of Colossians in chapter 3 with me. Colossians in chapter 3. And I'd like to look with you, if you would, with me. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to begin reading. If you can stand, if you can, let's stand. If not, you just remain seated. But Colossians chapter 3, I almost said Acts chapter 1 again. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience. Father, thank you for your word again and the opportunity we have to gather around it tonight, and I ask God you'd have the honor and glory now. Help me, Father, and help us to receive your word with gladness and joy. Speak to hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Begin. You may be seated. Well, you can stand up the whole time if you want to. I mean, they used to sometimes, amen. In the Bible, they stood up. How long, preacher, was it? 12 hours or so? Stood up hearing the word of God. I don't want to stand up for 5 minutes listening to somebody, let alone 12 hours, amen. But God is good. And this evening, just the thought I have here is, if you want revival, you know, a lot of people say they want revival, but are you willing, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you willing to do what it takes to have revival? See, that's a different thing, isn't it? Some people say they want revival, but they're not always willing to do what it takes to have revival. They like to come to church, and they like to hear some sometimes exciting preaching and exciting music, and they like to they like the laughter, and they like the jokes, and they like the fun, but a lot of people aren't really interested in really having a revival in their hearts or in their lives today. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing to happen in somebody's life. So I wrote down just a few things, just three thoughts or four thoughts maybe I have in here. And number one, he said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So I wrote down, seek those things above, or I wrote down, if you want revival, seek holiness. Seek holiness. Seek holiness from a holy God. The word seek there means, it has the idea, it carries with the idea to worship. To worship. It carries the idea to have a desire or to endeavor to require or to inquire something. It's the idea of to seek after or for a means to. So seek after those things which are above, or seek God or seek Christ or seek holiness in your life. worship God. Become the place of seeking holiness in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. I think that we are in a time in our country that where many born-again believers are seeking things, but some of them are seeking the wrong things, even yet today. And you would think that something like this, during the pandemic and during our country and during the crisis that we see, and those that we see as believers, the things that we see as believers going on, the things that we see happening as born-again believers going on, you would think that the more believers would be willing to come together. But I'm finding out there's a lot of believers out there who are agreeing with the government and who are agreeing with what's going on. Born-again believers saved by the very grace of God. And all I can think is this, is they're not in their word very much. They're not in their word very deep. They don't know much about the Lord if they're willing to go along with all of this stuff that's going on and in agreement with it. Now, I'm not, preacher, I want you to understand something. I'm not getting a shop's choice. It's somebody's choice. If that's what they choose, that's up to them. Amen. So I'm not going to condemn somebody who decides to get a shot. But why would I have to be condemned if I decide not to get one? See, that's what I don't understand. If I'm not going to condemn you for taking one, why condemn me if I'm not going to take one? You know, to me, it's a personal choice. And so I think that because of a lack of holiness in people's lives, a lack of godliness, a lack of what's right in their Christian lives, I think that we're seeing people now who are going off the other way and going off the deep end and not seeking the things of God, but seeking the things from the government. Seeking things that they think the government can do for them rather than put their trust and faith in a holy God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There will your heart be also. And then Matthew 6, 33, which is saying, "But seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God as a child of God. Seek what God would have you as a born-again believer, saved by his grace. So seek holiness. Seek those things that would draw you close to God as a believer in Jesus Christ. So many of us are seeking our own things and what we want and what we desire rather than seeking God's will in our lives. Now we know, you know, and you've heard me say this before, that you know very well that when you seek to please God, and when you seek the desires of God, and you begin to seeking God, your desires are going to change, because now you're going to desire what He desires for you. And guess what? Then it's going to happen. Then He's going to give you the desires of your heart. But until then, it ain't going to happen. Why? Because our desires have to be His desires. We have to seek Him and seek His holiness and come up close to Him. Sometimes we worry more about what we look like rather than what we look like to God. We worry about all kinds of things, but what's our heart between us and God? Where does God see in our heart? Some people say, if I was taller, if I was shorter, if I was skinnier, if I was married to someone else, if I had another job, or if I had different parents sometimes, and the list goes on and on and on and on, amen. But how about let's just please God? Let's see what God has to say about these things. And I don't understand people today. I've actually heard people make the statement, "I can't stand my children." I've heard people make the statement, "I can't stand my parents at all. I wish they were dead." I don't understand that kind of a statement. I don't understand what. But I'm not talking about the world. I understand why the world says what the world says. I can understand why they do it. Why? Because they're sinners. And they're in darkness. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. But for a born-again believer to make those kinds of statements, and I've heard born-again believers make those kinds of statements. How sad that a born-again believer would make a statement like that about someone who is part of their family. I can't grasp that. Sometimes I just like to grab them by the throat and say, "Wake up, man." Amen. Well, she was 93 years old, and I didn't want to do that to her. No, just kidding, amen, just kidding. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says, "And they know thy name," and "they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Those that worship thee, those that come up close to thee. He said, "I have not forsaken you." You worship God. So, you know, some people come to church and don't worship God. Some people come to church, brother, I've known some people go to church just because they're made to go to church. I heard one guy, I think I shared this last year here, maybe, or the year before, the guy that made the statement, he said, he says this, He said, the only reason I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday is to support the pastor, because I've already heard everything he has to say. That's sad. Why do you come to church? If you came to the church and the pastor didn't make it, what would you do? Well, you ought to sing a hymn, amen, pray, spend time worshiping God. You don't have to have preaching to worship God. It's a good part, amen. It's a good thing to have preaching. And preaching is proclaiming the Word of God. He will use the foolishness of preaching, he says in the Scripture. We need to make sure we come up close to God, amen, and do what he would have us to do as believers in Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In Psalm 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. I like it when I eat and I'm satisfied, amen. And I believe he's talking about some spiritual things here, because then he says this, they shall praise the Lord that seek him, your heart shall live forever. It doesn't mean you're going to live forever. It doesn't mean you will spiritually, amen. You will spiritually, but it's the idea that he will take care of your needs and you're going to want to worship him continually as a believer in Jesus Christ. We ought to want to come up close to God as born-again believers, not drift away from God. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. And then it goes on to say this, God is not in all his thoughts. Well, I don't know. I like to say for 47 years since I've been saved that God is in every one of my thoughts. But if I said that, you'd kick me out of here, preacher, because you know it's not true, amen. How do you know it's not true? Because he hasn't always been in all your thoughts, amen. Because he hasn't always been in all my thoughts, because he hasn't always been in all your thoughts. But David, I believe the psalmist, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 4, the wicked, he said, through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Why? Because God is not in all his thoughts. And sometimes he's not in all the believers' thoughts, too. I know the wicked he's talking about, they're the unsaved. Those who wouldn't fight, seek God. Those who would not walk with God. Those who deny God. Those who would have nothing to do with God. Maybe those who are not saved. Those who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, man, he said, they don't seek God. They don't care about God. And God is not in, not, God is not in all his thoughts. But I don't know how old you were when you were saved. But before you were saved, was God in your thoughts? One of my thoughts. Everything else was in my thoughts, amen. How much money I could steal, how many people I could rip off, how much drugs I could do, how much alcohol I could drink. That's what was in my thoughts my whole life until I got saved by the grace of God. You know, listen to me. God wants to be in your thoughts continually, all the time, as a believer in Christ. Don't walk in a wave in a mannerism where you don't draw and think upon God as a child of God. No, I think about him off and on all day long, but I don't think about him all day long. How about you? You think about God all day long, every waking moment, every second. You're thinking about God. I had some friends, I believe, are like that. Amen. It seems like they're all their thoughts always come back to God. I have a dear friend in Ohio. He's got Alzheimer's now. And he was my pastor years ago. And you could not go anywhere without him bringing up the conversation somehow back to God about something. Amen. And he was a prophetic giant, brother. I'm going to tell you, he knew prophecy in the Scripture. He would teach through Ezekiel, and he would say Ezekiel, amen. Yeah, he is equal, amen. Equal to himself, Ezekiel. He would say Ezekiel, and he'd say Ezekiel, amen. But he would teach through Ezekiel, and I'm doing it, amen. He'd teach through Ezekiel, and then he'd go in the book of Joel or Amos or Obadiah, and he would go back. He would just all those prophetic scriptures, and he could just it would make sense to you when he was done talking about it. But every time you went somewhere with him, you couldn't talk about anything that did not come back and relate to Scripture, no matter where you were. In fact, him and I were going to Cleveland to visit a guy in Ohio one time, up to Cleveland, Ohio, about 50 miles from where we lived at that time before we took off and went to Michigan to ministry. And we were going to Cleveland to see a fellow who had a heart attack in our church that he was pastoring. And him and I were talking, and he said, "Hey, Mike, I saw you." He said, "Turn over here." He threw his Bible over to me. He said, "Turn over there." And he's got it upside down. He's got it like this over beside him. He said, "Turn over there." And I turn over there. And he's going like this while he's driving. He's reading this verse of Scripture, you know, driving. And the car keeps on going like this on the road. Before we knew it, we were a half hour past our turnoff to get up into Cleveland where we wanted to go. We had to turn around and come back a half hour, you know. So I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to ride with him anywhere, change the subject somehow. But it is not going to happen. I'm telling you, it never has happen, amen. Praise the Lord. You keep your heart where you seek God. It ought to be a primary thought in your life. It might not be all day long, every moment, every second of every day, but it ought to be a primary thing in our heart as a believer in Jesus Christ, that, man, we seek Him, we come close to Him, we worship Him continually as believers in Christ, and see what He would have for us. And then the second thought there in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, set your affection. That word affection means to exercise your mind. So I put set your mind on the things of God. It means to entertain or to have a sentiment or an opinion, by implication to be disposed in a certain direction intensively, to interest oneself in with concern or obedience to. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to set our mind, our affection, our mind ought to be set on Jehovah. Our mind ought to be set on the things above. Our mind ought to be set on the things of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, the Bible says. And the world passeth away. The world, listen, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. One day, boy, this world's going to be gone, amen? But we need to do the will of God. We need to do the will of God, number one, is salvation. It's God's will that every individual would be saved. Not every individual is going to be saved, but His will is that they would all be saved. He said, He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance, amen? That all would come. He wants everybody to be born again, saved by His wonderful grace, but not everybody's going to get saved, amen? So not everybody's going to go our direction and follow our leadership or go in the way we're going. Why? Because it's the world. But he said, boy, he said, I want you to understand something. He said, one day it's going to end. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad. It's not going to be good. We're going to get to heaven and there's going to be no more lustful thoughts, no more ungodliness, no more wickedness, no more lies, no more, boy, no more hindrance to worshiping God. Guess what? Your mind will be stayed upon Him then 100% of the time. Amen. It'll be on Him 100% of the time. So then he said, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You've been saved by the grace of God? Amen? You've been saved? If you've been saved, hallelujah, man, I tell you, because that's the best thing that could ever happen to you, and the best thing that's ever happened to me was salvation. And I told my wife, I said, when I got married to her, I told her, I said, I married up when I married you. But I said, you didn't do too bad yourself, amen? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One day I'll be perfect. Amen. She thinks I'm perfect already. And if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. Amen. She thinks, yeah. I love my wife. Amen. I pick on her. I probably never really said that to her. I know I said something like that to her. I can't remember exactly how it came out. Amen. I will tell you this. Just sideline, nothing to do with the message. I was sitting at a table with some friends a while back, and we'd met, and we were talking too, and of course I've got some tattoos on my arms from the prison tattoos in the past, you know, and I used to have one I got a heart on there, and there used to be a name in that heart, and we're sitting there, and somebody asked me, they said, there's a ribbon through it now. Before I ever got saved, I did that, because she left me, and it was probably a good thing, amen. And so a girlfriend back then, you know, you know, when you're 16, you do stupid things. You know that? Amen. And so somebody at the table said, was there a name in there? And my wife spoke up this way. Yes. And my name's not Donna, she says. I said, honey, I said, I love you. I said, Donna's gone. That's covered up. I said, you're tattooed on my heart. And then the next response is this. Yeah, it didn't help, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, how'd I get there? I have no idea. Hold on. We're all abiding forever. He said, those who do the will of God abide forever. Watch chapter 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, listen, if riches increase, set your mind, your affection, the things above your mind. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. The problem is many people set their heart on their riches, set their heart on their other things, Pastor, other than God. He wants our attention. He wants our attention all the time. He wants us to come up next to Him. He wants us to walk with Him and be close to Him. He said, but boy, if God, there's some people, I've been in some churches, some people that are rich. I mean, I know some people that got some money, amen. And but the thought is this, when their mind is only on that. I know 4 millionaires. I do. But I know only one that uses his money for God. Him and her, him and his wife. Well, I know 2. And one is just a millionaire because she just sold a big campground, amen. But what she does is for the Lord, amen. And you know what? Money's not the root of all evil, but love of money is the root of all evil. You put that together with this verse here, where again he says, trust not in oppression, because become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Look at Philippians, just back a couple pages in your Bible, Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Go down to verse 17 with me as I read these verses. We begin verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 18. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Their affections on earthly things, their minds on earthly things. For your conversation, that's your conversation, is in heaven. That's you. That's your how you live, what your desire is, what you're seeking in your life is in heaven, he says. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Boy, their mind is not set on the things of God. Our mind not to be set on the things of God, amen. Why? Because he said he's going to lift us up one day, and he's going to change our vile body. He's going to make it like unto his glorious body. We're going to not, Pastor. I don't know what you believe, and that's all right. If you believe the other way than I do, it's fine. I know many out there that say they believe everybody's going to look like Jesus, and everybody's going to be the age of Jesus. I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. I mean, if we are, hallelujah. But you know, I think I'm going to recognize every one of you in heaven. And when I see Brother Dave over there, because he's such a heckler, I'm just going to turn around and walk the other way, amen. No, that ain't going to happen, amen. We can't wait to get there, amen. We can't wait to see each other in glory and just rejoice one with another at the feet of Jesus Christ and cast our crowns before his feet, giving him honor and glory. Maybe with the angels, maybe Pastor with the angels, maybe we'll get to holler out, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, amen. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Psalm chapter 49, verse 16. Be thou not afraid when one is made rich, he says, Psalm 49:16. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away, his glory shall not descend after him. Otherwise, it's not going to go with him. He can't take it up with him. Amen. His glory is not going to go anywhere. His riches are not going to go anywhere. Why? Because once you're dead, you're dead, you know. I always tease my mom. My mom passed away this year in May, this past May. She died about the... I'm thinking it was about 12 days before her 96th birthday she passed on, amen. And I always tease her, even up till a couple weeks before she passed away, I went to visit with her. I said, Mom, she sneezed. I said, Mom, I said, you see that? She was. I said, that's all cloud of dust come out when you sneeze, amen. That's how old you are, amen. So I used to pick on her all the time. But, when we die, and she's in glory, she believes she was saved, amen. I got to go with what she said, hallelujah, amen. And I hope to get to see her. Well, I know I'll see her again one day if she's there, hallelujah. She said she is, so I'm saying praise the Lord, amen. But be not afraid when one's made rich when his house is increased. Don't let that bother you and say, that's what I need, that's what I want. No, I want you to say, what I want is to be holy and walk close to God. Come to that place in your life. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your life. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. He cannot take anything with him at all. It's not going to go. Then look with me, if you will, back to the text again, where he says, Let me get my turn my page back over there. He makes a statement. He said, "For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Aren't you glad for that? I am. My life is hid with Christ in God. Nothing else can happen. Nothing else can happen. Nothing else can happen. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Otherwise, he sees me as through the eyes of the blood and the shed blood, and through his eyes through his Son. Well, I thank God for that. He said in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Well, you know what I'm thinking about there. I'm thinking about at the end of that. Thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and we come back with Him in glory. Amen. And that could be a precious time. We get to come back with the Lord. Well, what a time that will be, and to see Satan taken up and cast into that lake of fire which burneth forever and ever and ever. And so he makes a statement because of these things of thought. He says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Mortify means to deaden, make yourself dead to. It's where we get the word mortician from that word mortify. And so he wants us to make ourselves dead. So I wrote down, subdue the flesh. Subdue the flesh. The idea of mortify, to make yourself, or deaden yourself to, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Now listen, he's not talking about the other members of the local church. Amen. He's not saying, delete them, stop them, end them. That's not what he's saying. Mortify your members, your body. That's what he's dealing with, your body. Make yourself dead to the things of sin as a child of God. You're born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are made alive. You as a believer in Jesus Christ, were dead, and he now has quickened you by his Spirit. He's made you alive by the Spirit of a holy, righteous God. And then he goes on, he makes a statement. He says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And he says, fornication. That's an immoral relationship out of marriage. In many places in Scripture, talks about fornication and adultery within the same verse. You know what, my friend? We need to be careful as the word in the Word of God that we would apply the Word of God to our lives. A sexual impurity he's talking about in an individual's life. And then he makes this statement. He said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness." That's impurity, physically or morally. Uncleanness, he says. And that can lead, it also could begin with unclean thoughts, because our mind is not set where it needs to be set as a believer in Jesus Christ. So we need to set our minds upon the things of God as a child of God. And then he goes on to say, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection." That is an irregular, disorderly, excessive, immoderate, not limited to rules prescribed or to usual bonds, as an inordinate love of the world. Inordinate, it means an unnatural affection for something. And then he says, "Evil concupiscence." And concupiscence, that's a big word, amen. And I never used to be able to pronounce that word, you know. But concupiscence, a simple understanding of it that I get from it is this: it's a deep seed of lust. But it means, to me, here's what it means, preacher: lusting after lustful things. More deeper than anything else. Just a deep. It gets a hold of a person, and where it becomes almost to them so obsessive in their life that it becomes a habit to do those things that God says no to. Covetousness, he goes on to say, that's fraudulent, extortion, practices of greediness as an individual. Idolatry would be in image worship. Or following those things, or falling into those things that would draw your... We would use it in the idea that it draws our attention away from God, even though we might go to church, we'd say, "Man, that person's got all kinds of idols in their life." And really, I don't have some little statue on my shelf in the house that I bow down and worship to all night, pastor, and then if I get hurt, I'm not going to bow down to some other little statue and ask for healing. I believe that's what idolatry truly is, amen? Seeking those things that are not... But for you and I, it would just be putting our thoughts or our minds where they ought not to be as a child of God, and worshiping something other than a holy God. And you might come to church and your mind just might not... You ever come to church and your mind have not been on the things of God, but on everything else around you? Well, I'm wondering where our heart is at that time, amen. I wonder where our heart is at that time. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6 with me. We're in the book of Romans in chapter 6. We'll see. Look with me down to verse, Romans chapter 6 down to verse 12. He makes this statement, Romans 6, 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law. Watch, ye are not under the law, but under grace. Boy, I thank God for that. Amen. Thank God I'm underneath the grace of God, not underneath the law. But I couldn't keep the law. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid, he says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the, watch, ye were, that's past tense, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then he said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But now we are servants of Christ. We are no longer free from righteousness. We are to live a righteous, holy, pure, godly life. Subdue the flesh, he tells you not. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, 11 through 13. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, and we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, that could almost be a difficult verse. Amen? It really could. But I look at it this way. If I'm a born-again believer, and I'm living after the flesh, and he says I shall surely die, that's not going to be a spiritual death.
Yeah.
It can't be a spiritual death, you understand? But I believe, Pastor, that the Scriptures teach that we can have a sin unto death. That we can have a premature death as believers in Jesus Christ. That you're doing something you ought not to do, living in a mannerism that's so inconsistent with the Word of God, that God just might say, that's enough. And take you out of here, take you home to be with Him. You say, how do you know when that happens, Brother Mike? I don't, and I don't want to know. And I don't want to judge that in anybody's life. Amen? I don't want to judge that. That person died, but man, they were only 18 years old. But man, look at the wicked lifestyle they were living. Well, if that's the case sometimes, how about the man that's 50 years old has been living in sin for 30 years, or the preacher that was maybe 50 years old and living in sin for 3 years with the secretary in his church and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's still alive out there living with some other woman now. What about that? Amen. So I'm not going to be the judge of that. There's a reason why that God does what God does, and I don't understand it all. And then why does God take a young man 15 years old home that drowned in the icy water in upper Michigan when I was pastoring up there, and not my church, but a friend of mine was with him, died at 15 years old, was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, sold out for the Lord, and God took him home. Why? I don't know. You know, I can't explain it. I don't try to. I just know God is God, and God's going to do what He's going to do when He wants to do it. Amen. But I know this. He does tell you and I, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Boy, it's a thought, isn't it? It's a thought. But as ye through the Spirit do mortify, make dead these are the body, you shall live. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Go to Ephesians with me. The last one I want to look at with you. The last thought with this verse. I got scripture written down here. Ephesians chapter 5. go to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. He says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Amen. How many of you, if you had children, when they were real little, I'm talking about, Dave, I'm talking about when Matthew was 2 or 3 years old, and you'd hold his hand and walk somewhere, and and he would follow you. Sometimes maybe you'd go out to get the mail, maybe he'd follow you out the door before you knew he was following you out the door. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? They follow you. And he says that we are to follow God as a child. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. That same thought that comes to my mind. We are his child. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are newborn, amen. We are born again. And so, man, there's a lot of baby steps I went through and still go through, amen. Still go through some baby steps in my life. And I've been saved 47 years, amen. Still have to get that thing in my mind to follow God, follow God, follow God. And where he leads me, I will go, I will go, I will go, amen. Then walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Well, my mind ought to be set on him. My walk ought to be set with him. The way I live, my heart ought to be set upon him. I ought to be seeking him and setting my mind and subduing the flesh. Why? Because of who he is and what he has done. Watch what he says in verse 3. With fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, and watch, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. And what is being named in churches all over today? Amen. I know a young man right now that just informed his parents that as soon as his girlfriend turns 18, he's 19, as soon as she turns 18, they're moving in together. Because her parents say it's okay. And his daddy's a preacher. His mom's heart's broken. His heart's broken. What do you do? Amen. But it's in his name. And then they want to come to church and think everything's okay. It's not. Amen. It's not okay. It's not right. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He said, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, that makes me think, amen. That makes me think. And I understand, Pastor, that Christians born again, saved by the grace of God, can do any one of these things. We can do the same things after we're saved that we did before we were saved, but by the grace of God, there go we, amen. There go I. And so I get to thinking about this manner. He must be dealing with the idea. It's not just a one-time fling thing here. It's a mentality, a set mind that's how I'm going to live my life continually, 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 continually. And that's sad. Look, I'll be honest with you. I've been there continually, continually, continually on some things. In my own life. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. Well, I thank God when he showed me and he dealt with my heart almost to the point in such a mannerism where I couldn't do anything but look up and say, okay, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. God, forgive me. Help me to serve you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to do what's right. Our mind has to be set on him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know. You want revival? Amen. If you want revival, seek holiness. You want revival? Set your mind. You want revival? Boy, subdue the flesh. Take care of some things with him that you might see revival in your life, in your heart. I'm not looking for it from somebody else. I'm looking for it from me. Amen. About tonight. Anybody in here with an upraised hand? Say, Mike, I need revival. Would you just pray for me? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You put them down. Amen. Second question, are you saved? If your life ended tonight, has Jesus Christ forgiven you for your sin? Probably everybody in here, because I see heads shaking, you know. Everybody in here probably has put their faith and trust in Christ. But if you have not, and you're not sure that if you died, that you have eternal life. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you for a moment. And be it all right now with an upraised hand, say, Mike, that's me. That's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you just pray for me? Father, I thank you for these who raised their hand tonight, Lord, and you know the heart, Father. I didn't see any hands about salvation, Father. And Lord, to be honest, I didn't expect to see any, Father. I just know that if I don't do that, don't ask, Father, I would feel terrible if I ever left a meeting and found out that someone there has been putting it off all these years. But Father, by your grace, Lord, if there's anyone like that tonight, save that soul. Help them to seek your face. Help them to seek you, Father. Help them to talk to someone about salvation. God, I give you the praise and thanks for these who raised their hand, Lord. Again, you know their heart, Father. Help me, Lord, this week. Help me, Father, to see revival. Help me to seek revival. Help me to seek your face. Help me, God, to come up close to you, Father. Move me out of the way that you be honored and glorified. And we'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.
Let's stand, 496 in our songbook. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Pray that last verse. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Praise the Lord. Turn back to 448. Let's sing one more as we dismiss. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here tonight. Don't let these week of services go by thinking they're just a group of meetings. Again, they're time when we can get our hearts settled in with God and meet with Him each night this week. Appreciate the preaching so much. and take full advantage of that. 448 says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for thee. Lord, bless you for being in church tonight. Let's go to the house. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Praise the Lord. Bring somebody with you. Pray somebody in.
Oh, that probably won't be the first time. I preached that next year before, but in a different way.